I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us greet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when this thing shall be. Just be ready, be watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us greet him with a shout. For he tells us it is a word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We shall live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us greet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Tempted and dried up, we've made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are robbers living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our arms so lonely and drear. Then do we wander while others prosper, living so it could year after year. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Without my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our loving master. A few more days to live. labor and way. Toil up the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Farmer alone will know all about it. Farmer alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farmer alone will know all about it. Farmer alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. And shady green pastures, the rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters refresh everyone's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mountain the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives the song. In the night season and all the day long. The sorrows befall us and Satan oppose. God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives the song. In the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire, away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long.
See, we got a truth, eh? That's all that matters on this end. Because everything out there has been corrupted.
That's right.
The church world is corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
It's all deception. I just came into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks around the doors. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset, and I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, this test he must face. It is here that God will mold you, make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Now I'm standing on the mountain, looking back I can see. When I was in that lowest valley, His strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace He gives to me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
The Lord put me on a journey back in the early 90s. Been a 40, 50 year journey now. And I wouldn't miss it for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And we got the truth now. We put the truth out there now. It's the only thing that's worth. That's the only place you find the truth. Mm-hmm. Here, right here, this chapter. All we're doing, we're telling people the truth. It's all we're interested. That's all we know to tell. Mm-hmm. You can't tell them a lie. But the Lord took us through schooling for the last 30 years. So we have something to tell the people around the world. Where are you going to find what we're telling people? That eternal life is only in the seven stars. The church world out there is just geared to deceive you. It's all just the Satan is the prince of this world. Satan is the head of it. And for you and I, so simple.
And that's why he's on our case 24/7, trying to get into the door, you know. And we have to keep things these like he uses people. Satan, he can't just come in himself.
Yeah.
He has to use people to come in, and that's what he uses. He'll use anybody. And most of all, he'll try to use family members, because those ones that think they've got the most rights to you.
Yeah,
you know?
The Bible says those of your own household will be your biggest foes. And it's not that they're your enemies or anything, but it's just the devil knows that you love your family, you know, and then he uses them to, because they're not on the same page, they're not born again, so he uses them to try to distract you, and he's very successful with a lot of people. They cave, because the family members, you know, like my brother said, oh, he's a bloody disgrace to the family, Well, you have to be, because you're in a different chapter. You're, we're in a different journey than a lot of people.
That's right.
Lord has put us on this journey to hold the truth here in this end time. You will not find anybody tell you that there's no eternal life in these churches out there, and the Kenneth Copelands and the Billy Grahams. There's no eternal life. Anything. They have no scripture to prove to me that there is eternal life.
That's right.
And the Billy Graham Crusades and all that stuff. Thousands and thousands of people, they flock to them. Or these churches that are standing room only. A lot of these big speakers, they go there, but there's no eternal life in it. It's only, I cannot say it often enough. Jesus said it before he went to the crucifixion. This will be eternal life, because, like we keep repeating ourselves, everybody wants eternal life, but they're going about it the wrong way. Like we hear about a lot of people, they join this church thinking they're going to have eternal life. That's the worst place they can go to. Like that Matthew Cops we talked about the other day, some time back, and he was here. He sent us an email. How grateful he was that he finally found the truth. Next thing we know, a few months later, we found out he's going down to Fred Cormier. The worst place he could go is down to New Brunswick to Fred Cormier, because we had a horrible nightmare when we listened to him one evening, and that told us, stay away from Fred Cormier. Well, you tell that to people, they think we're crazy, because he's their idol. But we're just telling people the truth. We don't like telling them to say these things, because it looks like we're slandering people. We're not. We're telling people the truth from the experiences that we went through in the last 34 years.
And the thing of it is, when your ears are so accustomed to hear this modern day gospel that is out there, then the truth is slandering in their ears, you know. And that's the sad part of people, you know. They're so used to hearing this lovey-dovey Christianity and this delusion that's out there. When you tell people the truth, to them it's called slandering, you know. And that's how you can see how deceived people are.
Well, we're just trying to tell people the truth. What they do with it, that's their bit. Mm-hmm. Because this is the only chapter you'll find where we tell people the truth. They can do with it whatever they want. They may not like it. I'm actually surprised anybody still listens to us, because the truth is evil spoken of. Mm-hmm. The truth will not be readily accepted here in these closing days of time, because evil will be called good. It's exactly the opposite of what we tell the people. And like I say, I'm sometimes surprised that even somebody still listens in, because, it's an upside-down world we're living in. And it's a good thing that they do this, because that's the only place that they will find the truth. And we know we've been through the churches out there. We know what the devil does. We're onto his trickery, because he wants to create a world where it was completely God, or anything about God, is completely erased from society. That's that whole church world mechanism. Satan is at the helm of that whole church organization, whether it's Amish or whether it's Society of the Brethren. There is a mechanism, or the Sarah, there is a mechanism to take the truth out of it. They don't want to come out and tell you they're taking God out. They're taking the truth out of it, and they're twisting the truth and to make it into a lie. And then we're just going on to the fort. We're telling people the truth. We're telling people that God sent the prophet here, and the church here to lay to see it, because it's it. And the days of the voice. These people were just voices, because God could not give he could not give it to a human being. There's no human being that God could give this salvation message to. He has to give it to an angel, and that angel spoke through the vocal cord of people that were ordained of God to deliver it. We're only telling people what that angel tells us to tell them, because we could never tell people what we're on our own initiative. You know, if we didn't get our schooling from Brother Branham and Brother Jex, which was that angel. We're just contending on. Even like for you and I, we're just repeating what has been taught, because if the devil's good, he would completely erase mm-hmm. the fact that God sent the prophet. He's working overtime mm-hmm. to do it, and we're just holding on to the fort. That's all we're doing. And the beauty of the lily Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom, he transfigures you and me. As he died to make us holy, let us die to make all free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on. As he died to make us holy. That's what Jesus did. He died to make us holy. Let us die to make all free. We put our life on the line. Mm-hmm. We're just as give up our lives so that we could set people free, so the Lord could take us on that journey. Back in the day, like we keep saying, we lost it all already. We have to give up everything. And then once you give up everything, then the Lord can take you and he can teach you. But first you got to lose everything. Just like the Bible says, no man having left, father, mother, wife, children, homes, your finances, everything, we left it all behind. And just so the Lord can use us for his glory. So here in these closing days of time, we'll have a truth to tell to the people. But it's confusion, confused world that's out there. I want to talk about something that's kind of a little bit different. I know where that scripture is. Your right hand offends you. A lot of people have different. We're just trying to tell it the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Scripture here somewhere, maybe in Matthew.
So Matthew 5:30.
I'll start. Lust. Like the natural man, he's the enemy, eh? We get to wake up in the morning and we wake up enemy number one is me, myself, and I. And you gotta deal with it. You gotta face it right on, because that's what the whole epistles were written, so that we could crucify the flesh. It's all about the natural man. He's the enemy. And just came upon this the other day. I'll start in verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to desire her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, who does look at a woman sometimes? So you, but see, if you look at her in such a way, in a way of sexuality, then you already commit adultery with her. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it out. Throw it away. It is better to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go to hell. See, it doesn't mean that you literally tear out your hand or cut your eye out. Some people are so radical that they figure, if you cut out my hand, then your hand causes you. No, you got to mortify the flesh. It's the flesh that does that thing. And usually, like this guy, that Jake Mandela, died. He hardly had any members. He had his feet amputated and his fingers. And all of it is because of his diet. He just could not, instead of dealing with his diet, and he had, I think he had sugar diabetes as well. We talked about that other the guy the other day when we went, the guy from Shady Land there, Bob, he had was so infected with diabetes, he had to take needles and everything. But then he had to, and what he did then, he went on a diet, and he pretty well was drug-free from, watching what he eats. So what he was doing, he was actually cutting his arm off, like not literally his arm. He was taking care of his craving for food, because that's where diabetes comes from. A lot of it is inherited, but a lot of it has to do with your diet. And what he said, what the Bible is saying, what Jesus is saying, if you have a problem with certain issues, like let's say food, then stay away from food, then stay away from sugar, and stay away from food that'll cause that diabetes or any other thing. Like if you have problem with drinking, well, alcohol is not good for man or beast. So what do? You just don't go buy alcohol. I don't have a problem with alcohol, but some people, they have problem with alcohol. And all Jesus is saying, if you're right there, if alcohol offends you, if alcohol is what keeps you from living a Christian life, then stop your alcohol. It's just that simple. And if food is what kills you, you just abstain from food. We're down to one meal a day. Many times we even don't eat nothing for a day or two. And what we're doing, we're cutting off our right arm, and we're taking out of our eyes, because if you continue down that path to just with food, or with drink alcohol, then eventually it'll take you out to hell and that, because it's better to go and to have a lame without these issues than that your whole body be cast into hell. Because if you follow your appetite and you follow your desires of the flesh, believe you me, they will take you out to hell and that. Like I'm saying about alcohol. I mean, we don't have a problem with alcohol, but a lot of people that we know, they have problem with alcohol. They think alcohol is the order of the day. That's one of the first things the Lord dealt with me when he put me on this journey back in the early 90s. The first thing he did, like I kept telling you before, I went with my brother to Alberta to pick up some pigs, and then on the way up, the first thing he did, he'd stop at the liquor commission to buy a bottle of whiskey. And then on the way up, we'd drink. And then up there, I went to a prayer meeting with some ex-Hutterites, and then we prayed. And on the way back, I couldn't drink no more alcohol, just like that. The Lord just took it away from me overnight. And on the way back, the first thing he did, he stopped at the medicine hut to buy a bottle of whiskey. Well, I wasn't going to tell him not to, because so then he poured himself a drink, and then he poured me a drink. I said, I don't drink anymore. Just quit drinking, just like that. And then later on, he said, if you want to give a guy a punishment, send him on a trip with a guy that doesn't drink. Go, you know, it's all just entertainment, that drinking thing. Then they get together and they talk about things they ought not to talk about. And that's what alcohol does. But see, God wants you to, what Jesus is trying to say, you got to cut that thing off. If you have, just don't buy the stuff. Just pray to God that he'll take that alcohol away from you. Because if you continue down that path, you're going to destroy yourself. And then once you destroy yourself, you're going out to hell and that. It's just that simple. That's all we're trying. We're just trying to tell people the truth of the matter. It's a lot of twisted ideas what it means. Cut your eye out or put your arm off. No, you just crucify the flesh. The bottom line, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Because the deeds of the flesh, the natural man will take you out in left field, and he'll take you out to hell and that. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for another day of life, Lord, for the many things you do for us, Lord. Most of all, Lord, that you've allowed us to hold on to a truth here in these closing days of time, in a world of confusion and everything is all twisted up, Lord, and just exactly what you said will be in the end time. It'll be very hard to be a Christian, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we're just trying our level best, Lord, to keep our head above the water, keep our sanity. That's why You tell them, they told them back in the day, and to get up in the morning, get early, and pray in the day, and sing in some songs. These songs is what the only thing that keeps us online, because we realize without that, we would be drifting just like the whole world is drifting out into destruction, Lord. We just give you thank. We're eternally grateful, Lord, that you took time out to awaken us up and put us on this course here, to spend time with you, spend a few hours every morning, Lord, to make sure that we stay on course, Lord. These old songs that they wrote back in the 1500s, they keep us alive. They keep us spiritually fed, Lord. We're just eternally grateful, Lord, that you took time out to do that for us, Lord. We just pray you'll just continue to use us for your honor and for your glory. But there's no greater pleasure, Lord, than to serve you and to do it in spirit and truth, Lord. We love these songs, and we love to spend time with you. We just pray, Lord, you'll help us to say the right thing in the right way. And most of all, Lord, I pray you'll open the hearts of the people that they'll understand what we're trying to say here, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah, it's like we're just ordinary people down here, but we'd be given a mandate. We'd be given a job to do here in these closing days of time. And back in the day, the Lord let me know, Sam, I can't reward you unless you let me use you. And the big battle is to get myself out of the way, to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, get myself out of the way so that the Lord can use us for his honor and for his glory. But the first thing he had to do, he had to bring us to the message of today, because I was searching. Like I thought, back then I was terminated from that colony, I thought the Pentecostals had it. And then I had the Baptist habit. And the Lord took me through all these churches. Took me through them. And then finally he brought me to the ministry of Brother Brenham. And that's when I got excited. I'd never been so excited as I got when I found out that God sent the prophet. And I got the revelation of exactly what it said. The book of Revelation became an open book to me. And then, the book of Revelation is just for the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not understanding the book of Revelation, then you're not part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Just that simple. It's not that you're lost or anything, but it's just that there's a certain category that the book of Revelation is reserved. The people that go to be in the bride will understand the book of Revelation. And the Lord took us through that school so that now all we have to do now is tell people the truth. That's our mission. All we can do is tell people the truth. We don't know if they like it or if they don't like it, but it doesn't matter. As long as we tell people the truth, then they can decide for themselves what they want to do. They want to pursue it or they want to accept it. But we're just telling people the truth. It's not very readily accepted. When we tell people that there's no eternal life in that Hutterite system, there's no eternal life in these churches out there, because Laodicea, the church world, has been spewed out, like it says in the book of Revelation. He'll spew you out because you're lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold. They say they're rich, increased in good, have need of nothing. That whole church he's talking about, Laodicea, is the religious world at today's hour. And then he said, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold. I counsel of thee to come and learn of me, to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jack. That's that gold, that's that clothing, that's that Isaac. It's the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jack. But here in this closing days of time, I sometimes go on YouTube and see what these dummies out there tell you. There's not one word of Brother Brenham or Brother Jackson or the church age messenger or anything that even resembles anything that you and I are talking about. And all we're doing, we're just letting people know here in these closing days of time that God did send the prophet. Nobody will tell you that. I was in that hunter, I think, for 45 years of my life. Went to church every day. I never heard one word, one syllable that God sent the prophet. Like I keep saying, the deception is such a magnitude in these churches. It's not that they don't preach the truth, like their sermon. They're probably 100% the truth, what they're saying. But it's what they're not telling you that's so deceptive. They never tell you what's currently, what you need at the hour we're living in. They don't tell you about the only thing that's left is the invitation to the mercy of us. And they keep the people in the dark and they don't tell them the truth. We're here. We're telling people the truth. Here, right now, the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb is on. It's for whosoever will, whosoever hear it, let him seek up, because it's the only thing that's left just up the road. There's going to be a rapture, and there's going to be a marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's going to be some guests, and some guests at the marriage supper. That's why we're sending out this invitation to whosoever will, let him come. That's all that's left, because after that, it goes into judgment. We're just telling people the truth. That's just a matter of the fact.
That's right. Like, a lot of people, we know a guy that he thinks that everything is holy, and he can mm-hmm. do whatever he wants. And see, that's that charismatic concept out mm-hmm. there that they teach. Like, I listened to that Kenneth Copeland the other day, and he said something along the line too, that you're not sick, you're well. Like, and people are actually sick, and they see that's how they make people think that beyond reason and logic, you know, and they never have to do any sacrifices and crucify the flesh because everything is good, right? But mm-hmm. it's not like that, you know. I know a guy, he can sit and drink a whole gallon of chocolate milk and think that his body will not react against it because it's holy. Everything is made holy. Mm-hmm. See, that's taking everything out of context. You know, there are certain things, a certain food that I know I should stay away from because they don't do me good. You know, and it's just a matter of common sense, you know. But these preachers out there have taken common sense away from people and logic, you know. There's this charismatic concept out there, and you see it all around you. They're never willing to make a sacrifice. They're never willing to crucify something, you know, for the sake of for what you believe and what you stand for. And these people, they just think everything should be good. You should get along with everybody. But that's not the way the gospel is written. You know, there are certain things that the Bible tells you to withdraw from. And wrong teaching is one of them, to withdraw from people that do not hold on to the doctrine that we have been taught. See, those are things that the Bible teaches. You're not friends with everybody. It's impossible. The only friend that we have is the Word of God to help and lead us and guide us so that we can reach that eternal home. Otherwise, if you follow everybody's idea that's out there, we would be nowhere, really. But we have to follow the leadership and the guide of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that at the end that we can receive our reward. We can't follow every wind and doctrine, everybody that's yapping away at our ears to do this or that. We have to be obedient to God and to what God has for our lives. When it comes down to crucifying the flesh, when it comes to withdrawing from certain people and certain things, then that's what you do, you know. It's going to be, a lot of people are going to be set against you because you do that. But you know what? First and foremost, you have to be obedient to what God has for your life.
Amen to that. See, for myself, I got type A blood. And then I did some extensive study, and I came across the book, Eat Right for Your Type. I can't eat meat. I can only eat maybe 5% of my diet is meat. And I love meat, but see, I got to crucify the flesh because it's going to be harmful for me. Back in the day, I ate a lot of meat. I didn't watch my diet. And what happened, I got this cancer. And then by the grace of God, you prayed for me, that cancer had to leave. But now what I'm doing, I don't indulge in eating meat because it's not good for me, because my blood type cannot digest meat. And what happens, it becomes cancerous in you. And so I learned that. So what I do, I just maybe have 5% of my diet is food. Like I say, we're down to one meal a day. But we usually have some kind of a grain, beans and things like that, a bean salad or something that's natural and healthy. And not that often that we indulge and think sometimes we'll have a meal of liver and onion, but we don't try not to eat too much thing that's going against my blood type. My blood type cannot digest the meat, and I love a T-bone and a sirloin and all that stuff, but I stay away from it because it's not good. Like I say, you and I, we cannot afford to have our own diet. Like if you live in a colony, you kind of pretty well have to eat what they tell you to eat, what they put before you. But you and I, we can form our own diet, and then we can live according to our blood type, and that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say today, when your right arm offends you, cut it off. Mm-hmm. If your eye offends you, then cut it off. It doesn't mean you literally take your eye out. And if you have problem with sex and with looking at women, well, don't go buy porn. Don't go look at porn. It's just that simple. That's exactly what I mean. If your right eye offends you, don't saturate yourself with watching porn. It's just that simple. That's what it means. If your right eye offends you, don't keep saturating yourself. And if your right hand offends you, if you get problem with alcohol, just don't go buy that alcohol. Just pray to God to take it away from you.
That's right. And you know, it's you can see the conditions around the world. Everything has it plays out in the physical, what people have done spiritually. When mm-hmm. in the 60s, when America and the church world, they rejected the prophet and his message. See, in it there is accountability in his message. There is an accountability in this modern day gospel out there with this Kenny Copeland, the Swaggerts, and Osteen, and the other one that's down in Texas, that big guy,
John
Hagee. These people, there is no accountability in their message because, you know, he's like a big man. And you can see that the message of it all plays out in society. Mm-hmm. Now you can see the picture of society. People are mostly overweight, and the hospitals, the hospitals can't hold the people anymore. The waiting lines are so long, and they have to build bigger hospitals, and bigger. Every so often, because why? It's because the spiritual follows the physical, because people are not willing to crucify and to sacrifice these things. And then one of the smallest thing is diet, you know. Mm. That's why a lot of people go to the hospital, because of diet. It's they cannot even say no to certain things because they know the things are not good for them. And that, like I said, a diet is just one minute thing. Mm-hmm. The rest follows to alcohol, sex, and all these things that Satan has out there for people to just they're all asleep. People are asleep spiritually. They're not awake. And that's what happens then. That's a result of that, you know. If people are sober and vigilant, and you're willing, and you crucify the flesh, then these things won't see these things, right? But it starts somewhere. Where does it start? It all starts with your spiritual life. If you don't have that in line, these things follow.
Amen to that. See, back a few years back, I was 100 pounds overweight, and the Lord began to deal with me, and I was starting to have nightmares, and I knew I had to do something with my diet. And the Lord put me on a fast 3 years in a row for 40 days. And I did even as much as a sunflower kernel. And I lost 100 pounds. But see, it's one thing to take the weight off, but it's another thing to keep it off. Right now, I've got to lose another 30, 40 pounds. And it's a daily battle. That's why we're down to one meal a day. And then we usually just try to eat a salad, something that's healthy. But it keeps you on a kind of a straight and a narrow, because it says, the Bible says that mortify the deeds of the flesh. And he said, that you should present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Because if you don't, your appetite and all that stuff will take you out to hell and death. That's why it says that if your right hand offends you, if your appetite is what kills you, you just go to fast. And if you're alcohol, like I say, if alcohol is your problem, then quit drinking alcohol. Just that simple. And if you have problem with sex, don't go into porn. Don't go look at the do things that like that. Just that's why it says, crucify the flesh. And it says, Paul said, I die daily. He died to the natural man, the natural tendency, because the natural man will take you out and left field out to hell and death if you let it, if you don't put the pull back on the reins. Like you and I, we have a perfect opportunity. Like I say, if you live in a colony, you kind of have to eat what they tell you to eat, what they put before you. But and a lot of it is a lot of meat and their diet, and a lot of things they eat is not very healthy. That's why they got a lot of these health problems. And it's just that simple. It's just a simple phrase. Well, if your right hand offends you, cut it out. What he's trying to say here, if your appetite is killing you, just change your appetite. Just change your diet. Mm-hmm. And it's all the health issues and people is because of the diet. And I know that for myself. I got to watch myself what I eat. And I got to stay away from certain things. And it's after a while, it becomes a habit. Especially when you can only... When you can cook your own food and prepare your own food, you kind of lean towards kind of like I'm not a vegetarian completely. I'm not completely off meat. Sometimes I'll have maybe once a month we'll go out and have a steak, but it's not our way of life anymore. It used to be, but we're completely the opposite. We're living on greens and things like that. Just because, simply because, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your appetite is what kills you and puts on weight and affects your health and your diabetes and your heart and blood pressure and all that, you can control all that with your diet. That's what I'm trying to say today. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your diet is what kills you, just change your diet. It's just things you can do, especially in the summertime with all the vegetables and all that. That's all we're trying to say today. Just kind of crucify the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. And that's all we have to say today. Because if we don't say it, it's not going to be said. Because a lot of people, they have the idea. They will go around cutting off arms and things like that. Like I was telling you about that Jake Mandel. Instead, that died down at Heartland. Instead of watching his diet, he ended up, I think the amputated his legs and his fingers, and simply because he did not watch his diet. If you got diabetes, there's things you can do with your diet that the diabetes will not bother you. Like that boss down, and that guy was telling about that boss in Shady Land. I think he died now, but he was so infested with diabetes that he decided he's going to change his diet, and he completely controlled his diabetes, that you didn't have to take any more needles and any more pills. And that's what you can do with your diet. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not speaking to anybody except myself, because I'm the one that has to watch his diet. I'm the one that has to set an example. And I'm speaking to myself first and foremost. And then that's what we're trying to tell people, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, like we said. If you get problem with sex and all that garbage, then just don't watch porn. That's all part of it. And if you have problem with alcohol, well, just don't buy whiskey. Just that simple. Yeah. We just try to...
Don't entertain these things, you know. People entertain this sex thing, and then that's what their heart will follow. If you don't entertain these things, then the devil has to leave you alone.
Yeah.
You know, it says like... think upon those things that are lovely and pure and holy, and pursue these things, and that's who you will become. You know, if you pursue things that the natural man, the things of the flesh, that's who you are.
See, the Lord wants us to make it. He wants us in heaven more than we want to even be there. He put in all the resources. He's given us all this information. He sent the prophet. He spent 40 years of his life preacher going all around the world, and then when he was gone, he did it with the chief apostles, Raymond M. Jackson, and he preached for 40 years. And all we're doing, we're just holding on to the thing that the church will hide you. They don't want you to find out that God sent the prophet. When I told the Hutterite that God sent the prophet and that your baptism is all engineered, when people come out, they're young people, they come out to the itch of accountability, they coerce them. You got to get baptized in order to get married. They coerce them, and behind it is the spirit of Satan, and all they do is they coerce them to make a pact with the devil. That's all that Hutterite thing is. It's the same what we've been talking about. When they make a preacher, they just make out of that preacher, he just make him a two-fold child of hell, because that Hutterite thing is not of God. It can only produce more of the same, more of people to go to hell. That's all that whole thing is about. It's so engineered. By back in the day, after Martin Luther left the scene, and came Satan with his Antichrist, and they set up that socialistic, diabolical Hutterite system, because he just took a little bit of scripture. Oh, you gotta live all things common. All things come. But he took out the main ingredient. He put out the germ. Only those that had a proper belief structure. Like you and I, we can live all things because we got the proper belief structure. You and I, we believe the same thing. It says all those that believe had all things common. Well, and the colony, you don't believe nothing. You just born into it, and then you're forced to live all things common. It's a lie. It's just living a lie. That whole other thing is a lie. The way they make a preacher is a lie. We said the other day, once the day of Pentecost, the Lord led and guided them. He told them exactly, call unto me Paul and Barnabas. I just read it yesterday. And call them to for the ministry now. And after the Pentecost, the Holy Ghost did all that, because he couldn't afford to give human being that responsibility. It was the Holy Spirit that was leading and guiding the people in the early church, and now Satan has infiltrated that whole church, and it's all just engineered to take people out to hell and death. Because that gray horse rider, that's what he's doing. He's taking the masses out to hell and death. And all we're doing, we're just holding on to the truth, telling people the truth of the matter. Just that simple.
Right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we just pray that you'll take these words and help people to understand that they have an enemy, and mostly the enemy is, like we know that Satan is an enemy, but there's also that carnal human nature that we have to fight against, and that's the one that we have to mortify and crucify, and that we just pray, Lord, help people to see that, Lord. They have someone right living with them that they have to crucify and mortify, that natural man. We just want to present that to people. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give them that understanding. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.